Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey, this is Sal.
Hey, what's up? This is Amy from The Interrupters.
Hey, it's Safe with Mustard Plug.
Hi there, you wonderful Ska listeners. I'm Pauline Black.
Hey, this is Roger from Less Than Jake.
Hey, hey, this is Dan Vitale, singer of Bim Scala Bim and Steady Earnest.
Hey, guys, this is Steve from The Resignators.
Hey, this is Dan P. Hey, everybody, can I get an oh yeah?
Oh yeah!
Sasha.
And hey, this is Graham. We're the Mad Caddies.
And you're listening to
Ska!
Love a coin who doesn't pay rent. Dia, dia, dia. Who do you think? You're very cool, Mr. Scott. The time was final and the time was set. The meeting went to death, to the beat of the bed. It was dark and cold, we were getting wet. There was a plan that could not fail. Little bit did win, head up in jail. Two dark figures with the right to light. Soon a little dog would be well inside. And all we have to do is get safely inside. And the cocktails we would take. Who am I, my guy? I see a sky, but here we go. Last man we got to steal a little bit. Breaking into the field. And the road and that's a push out the timber. Meant to be responsible. Let's go, let's go, let's go. This is Skater Pearson on the saxophone. Scooter. Try. After having lots of trouble, we break in the lag. We knew the judges could have it put to the jack. So we entered the place with the greatest of it. A happy strike we could grab. This was easy and packing a jab. We said hi, hello, but to our surprise, there was a little suspicion down the line. But still, there was nothing of any use. So we grabbed what we could carry. hustling with Dr. Steele. We'll be breaking an entropy and a rubber. But now that the road and I suppose that the silver meant to be responsible. Let's go and back to electrical and that's how one will have a coin. Some of it too blind, I can see that. We'll have a coin with the things that kind of lead at them. We'll have a coin. It wasn't worth the effort, but never. Pull up the coin to prove a line from crime doesn't pay.
Welcome to Scar Nation Radio with Beefy. It is the world's number one Scar radio show, and I am coming at you live from Melbourne town, and it is an extra special bonus Scar pod for all you listeners out there, because we are going to sit down with Melbourne Scar legends, and I use that term very, very loosely, the Looney Tunes. Legends as a word comes up far too often nowadays, and definitely it is when you talk to these boys. Now, on Scar Nation Radio with Beefy, we kind of toy with the weird, the wonderful, the extravagant, and all that goes with it, and the Looney Tunes have been around since, well, I don't know, let's kind of ask them about when they came about and what they're doing now. So this is the bonus Scar pod you've all never asked for, but you're going to get it anyway. We've got Adam, Rob, Phil, and the other Adam as well in the studio with me.
Should you mention we're wearing the same clothes?
It is very disturbing, the fact that Adam and Rob
We're wearing the same pair of shorts.
Sharing a pair of underwear as well.
I can't believe this is what we have to work with, right, Adam?
One leg each.
This is the professional style.
I think it's important for listeners.
I did not get the memo.
I tell you what, listeners, I am going to take a photo and show you, and I'm going to put it on the social media stuff. Remember to follow us.
We need Sky Nation TV.
We definitely
do. I've been saying it for a long time. We're proof.
I keep getting asked about whether I'm going to add Instagram and YouTube to what I do. This proves that I need to now. It absolutely does.
But is the world ready for this?
And you're wearing a special T-shirt. So
I'm not sure the world is ready for this, Phil. I'm going to be completely honest.
No, I don't think it is either.
I'm going to ask you very, very quickly, and you don't have to be honest. I mean, how old are you?
12.
Exactly. And Rob?
14.
14. So you're not twins, but you just act like it.
We're in our 50s. Are we? I'm in my 50s yet.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe? Are you sure? I'm just taking a photo just for posterity because it is hilarious.
It's hilarious. It's cute.
It is cute. It absolutely is.
We're the poster boys of Scar.
Social media gold right there.
It's getting weird now.
Well, blackmail material.
Anyway.
It's getting weird now. What? It wasn't weird before.
It was beautiful before.
So I've got to say, straight off the bat, this time tomorrow, you will actually be supporting From the Jam with Bruce Foxton, yes. Russell Hastings.
We've been extremely lucky this time around with our new management in place to score some very, very good support shows. First Bad Manners, now we have From the Jam, which is amazing. It's a pleasure. You know,
exciting.
And that's sold out.
Is it sold out now?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's going to be a lot of people.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Very cool.
1,200, 1,400 people.
Something ridiculous.
That's a lot of people. Don't get nervous now. It's going to be a big night.
Insane.
How am I going to get out of there?
Don't worry, you're not going to get mobbed. Well, for me.
The question is how you're going to get in. I think that's the other thing.
You
so
don't have to go.
I know you are, Phil, but are the rest of you Jam fans?
Oh yes, definitely.
I'm going to ask you because I saw on your Facebook that you've posted all these pictures of your Jam collection.
Yes.
Have you got what's your favourite Jam song?
I've been thinking about this. Like, what are they going to play? Which one's going to make me actually so excited I pass out? I don't know. All of them.
Oh, I'll be good answer.
Second song, man.
Do you know, people ask me this. I played Absolute Beginners this week because it's got a Scar feel to it.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a live version of Ghosts, which they did I think it's on Sound Effects.
It's good.
They play it with horns and everything. The recorded version doesn't have horns, but the live version, they get a horn section. I was even thinking about, do you know what? You've got a Scar band. They're going to support you. Perhaps our
they could lend the horns.
Looney horn section could support properly.
Are you thinking like a gorilla horn appearance? They just suddenly burst in from the side of the stage.
And just start
How
playing.
How do you stop
them? See where that ghost around you for disguise. But there's no legions cause it's all we've known. There's more inside you that you won't show. So keep on moving your feet. Come on, shout into this ghost dance beat. Just keep on walking down the ending streets. One day you'll walk right out of this life and leave your weapon where you do.
should call me mad. That's this man. Gotta rid this grudge of dust that ties you down. How do you feel at the end of the day? Just like you want of your own grave. So how you fighting? Can't you see that it's you? And the world has got them, so there's nothing to lose. Pick up your lonely heart and walk right on through.
Did you end up speaking to Bruce?
I
shouldn't have brought that.
I'm going to be honest with you. Bruce Foxton stood me up.
Yeah.
I wasn't happy.
Stood me up too.
Yeah. He left me stranded waiting. I was Blondie. Waiting on a telephone.
I don't know, man. I'm not sure.
Anyway, in terms of...
He's a busy man. I mean,
I'm not happy about it.
I wouldn't be. You're going to confront
Friday,
him.
Tomorrow night, I'm going to saw him out. Yes, The Jam. It's exciting because people think From The Jam are kind of this nostalgia cover band, but it's actually The Jam.
No.
It's just like a replacement Weller. Yes. That's the only difference.
I've had listened to a few of their live recordings. It's going to be huge.
Yeah. He's very well respected, the guy, the vocalist.
Russell?
Playing
Russell Hastings, yes.
Yeah.
In fact, they use the term Weller endorsed.
Yeah, endorsed.
Well, I'm actually Weller endorsed too. If we can just use the term.
That's what she says.
But I'm talking about Steve Weller. I went to school with him.
Yeah. Steve, what a man, Steve.
He thinks
Weller.
I'm okay.
Yeah, good. Yeah. I'm glad he is.
There's a Paul Weller that will be at the gig tomorrow night whose name is Paul Weller.
Oh, look out for him. Yeah. Thanks for that.
All right.
I'll have a banner.
Story. We supported From The Jam. But Paul Weller was there.
Paul Weller was there.
There you go. Perfect. So it is a huge, huge night. Now, from experience, when you guys supported Bad Manners, you laid a foundation for an absolutely phenomenal night.
Thanks, man.
You kind of put the crowd in a certain mood to get going. And I've said this a number of times. That Bad Manners gig, I have never seen a crowd in Australia in recent times go off like it did for Bad Manners. Because normally...
huge.
It's kind of a sedate crowd because they're of a demographic of similar to us, although you're way past me.
Shut up.
But
security.
That Bad Manners crowd went mental. It was the first time I've seen a crowd go like that for a Scar or Bad Manners gig. And it was mainly because you guys set the level early doors for them to...
I do think that, yes. I think we're a very good warm-up act. I also think that the horn section for Bad Manners were very good at...
The saxophone player is phenomenal.
He taught us a lesson that we already knew, which reinstated a lesson for Looney Tunes about performance. Yeah.
Yeah, he's very good.
Yeah,
do you know he's like a world-class clarinetist?
Really?
He kept that quiet,
didn't he?
He
really is. He tours around the world playing clarinet, and then his kind of downtime, he goes and plays with Bad Manners and goes mental.
Goes nuts and runs around like an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think that was fantastic. But you're right. I think Looney Tunes are a great warm-up act where we can go on and play a half-hour action-packed set and we don't take ourselves very seriously and we're having fun. And I think it sort of helps the audience to relax and get in the mood. Yeah,
definitely get in the mood.
We've always done that.
You say that. You don't take yourselves too seriously.
We do, but we don't.
I know. You do, because many people don't know this. Behind the scenes of many bands, I mean, it's like a sports team. You've got to go and rehearse. You've got to go and practice. And guys do it religiously.
Yeah.
And it's not a flash in the pan that you're very good live. It's the fact that you do work at it.
We got lucky to have good, great musicians around the band, obviously. But, we definitely work hard. And even reforming the band, this is probably the third incarnation of Looney Tunes where we didn't know how it was going to go, but invited these players down and they were all very keen. It went really well from day one, thinking we'd rehearse 2 weeks before each gig, but we've rehearsed every week ever since.
Yeah.
And no one's putting their hand out and they love playing in the band and we've become a great band, I think a great sounding band because of it, yeah.
Definitely, and I can attest to that,
Thank you.
So let's go back to the 80s, if you can remember that far.
He does. I wasn't there,
so,
apparently.
Can I say that the very first time I saw Adam Timms was...
Here we go. Look out.
The very first time was 1981.
Ooh. Yep.
Boronia High School. I had left school by then, but I went
The first time you saw me, I saw you at high school. I talk about this all the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know, but the first time I saw you across a crowd.
I was watching him.
And
he inspired me, this guy.
Yes, steam up. My pants are getting tight. But no, it was Craig. It was I think it was you and probably Anton. I can't think who else was playing, but you were playing what Runaway Boys or something like that.
I don't know.
He can't even remember.
You're right. We've been playing Rumbling Brighton.
Rumbling Brighton.
First time I've ever got to say Rumbling Brighton. Yeah.
Not the Stray Cats.
Yes. Yeah.
That was just down the road here.
Yes. No. So it was the first time I saw these guys. And I've gone along to the high school. It was probably end of year concert or something like that. Sitting through interminable crap. And then these guys come on, I was like, oh, my goodness, look at this. And
sorry, laughed at us.
Look at these guys. But that was kind of a precursor of then my band formed a relationship with what became Looney Tunes quite quickly after that.
Yes, and
then
we used to come watch you rehearse, and your
band. Yeah, that's amazing, right. There was only four of us, and these guys had come in and take over our rehearsal room.
But you were like a real band. We're just knocking around you, but you were like a real band. It sounded...
And then we did gigs and built up to the Verona Progress Hall gig, where Looney Tunes was actually the headline.
So what year are we thinking this headline gig was?
Do we need to talk about
83?
I reckon 84, 85.
Mid-80s.
Let's call it mid-80s.
There's a reason why I get to this, because it's 2024. If it was 1984...
Looney Tunes definitely kicked off in 82.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah. That was Adam's dad, of course, who was in the lineup at the time.
I'm Weller. What's it called? Weller.
Steve Weller.
Endorsed.
Weller endorsed.
Yes. And so in those early years, Looney Tunes was doing gigs 19 to the dozen, but what was the pub?
The Aberdeen. The Armadale Hotel.
Well, no, I'm thinking...
The Aberdeen.
The Aberdeen.
Aberdeen.
Oh, that was their first show, ever.
Aberdeen. Like, of course, the Aberdeen is just a funky place to live now, but back in those days, it was...
Was the happening place at the time for Scar.
No nonsense.
Played a lot of shows there.
Rob Drinkwater is the drummer from Looney Tunes, but has been in many...
I think we need to talk about... He was in the greatest Scar band of Australia. In Australia, as far as I'm concerned.
Strange Tenants.
No Nonsense were clear when we when Luchin started. No Nonsense were clearly the best ska band in the country,
and I still
think so.
Thank you, Adam.
Their live shows were amazing. They were the greatest.
We got a shout out to Richard Bruce.
Yes, definitely,
because Richard was a pioneer of the front man.
Yeah,
in the early '80s, really.
Yeah. I learned from him, and then Steve-O did from me, or vice versa, whichever way you want to go. But he was very, very good. And it was very madness inspired, I guess.
Okay.
But Richard Bruce was a great front man, and I used to sit there watching him every night, and he blew my mind. These guys were amazing, you know? The reason why we kept going, you know?
Yeah, because people don't realize. I mean, when you talk about gigs 19 to the dozen, I believe, because I wasn't around back then, obviously, I believe you were playing 4, 5, 6 nights a week.
Yep. Yeah, sometimes eight nights a week.
For some years. For some years.
But these were like country gigs. We'd be all over the place. We'd be doing stuff. Yeah. This is Premier Harbour. Yeah.
And Earl's Court, the venue.
Yes.
Like the weekly Wednesday night gigs, which would finish at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And then you went to school next day.
Yeah, no.
Exactly right. Yeah. School.
Because you were teachers.
Half the band are
so,
teachers.
So, I mean, Rob, I mean, what was it like? I mean, you were in the dark at the back, but...
He's totally the drummer.
Haven't changed. He's still in the dark.
I feel like he's one of the musicians in the band.
Shots fired tonight.
Seriously, these guys, they were absolutely amazing. They were there before us, and they were very, very
good. So you talk about Looney Tunes, obviously No Nonsense, and Strange Tenants.
Yeah, Strange Tenants. And the All-Nighters.
The All-Nighters, yep.
Yeah. Well, we're a bit later, I'm thinking. Yeah.
Much later.
Yeah. I'm sure
they were great times. Bands, yeah. But Offbeats, we played our first gig with the Offbeats, I believe.
Yeah, the Offbeats. The Kiwis? At the time.
Offbeats, no.
There's a band called the Offbeat from New Zealand.
They were at the Aberdeen with them and No Nonsense, I think, was our first gig.
Maybe.
Yeah, anyway, but the quality was so good and the shows were amazing. There was they had their own sound guys and the lighting people, and just the production was amazing, you know, it's much different than it is today where the shows...
So you mentioned briefly about it was kind of, a lot of it was madness inspired.
Oh, no, I think No Nonsense were Mans inspired.
Okay.
And, you, and you'd say...
I mean, because the Tenants kind of had their own...
Yeah.
Sound. I mean, they went that... I mean, I know in later years they called it militant style, which it kind of was, in the, you know, but they were... I mean, we all know Bruce and Ian had a very interesting upbringing in terms of how they viewed life, and a lot of their songs reflected that.
But No Nonsense were much more pop inspired, you know, where they were really... The songs were popular, and it's much more infectious in that sense, that along the line of madness, I guess. You know?
And look, although Adam as a frontman might have initially been influenced by No Nonsense, Adam was very good at soaking up a lot of influences, and so you know you ended up Dexys. Well, I was driving here, Adam, and I was singing 1, 2, 3 Red Light.
Oh, really?
Yeah, great song. You know, so like 60s influenced stuff as well, and Adam developed his own style, stage style, over a few years.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
There was times when he was quite, you know, early on, was a bit
I remember that.
Introverted. Yeah. And
but, really but introverted.
He's making that up. It never happened.
Were you shy at one stage?
He was.
I was. And I remember the make that moment of decision going, it's all or nothing, you know?
Yeah.
If I'm going to be up on stage, either may as well go for it, you know? And that was.
Yeah. So, you know, really developing that presence and persona. And it's that thing of, you know, you prove that you can actually decide to have a stage persona and a stage presence. Yeah. And that works for audiences. That's what they're paying for.
Exactly.
They're there,
right.
They're
exactly
there to right. be performed to.
Yep.
And that's, you know, Adam kind of led that charge. And here we are 2 or 3 years later. And that's still what you're seeing on stage when the band performs now.
And it's quite heartening for me, especially because you guys are still playing as Looney Tunes. I mean, the personnel may have changed, but the songs, weirdly enough, have come back to live another life.
To haunt us.
But Loingroin are still kicking around, although they were a bit later, mid-80s, I think, when they started.
Yeah,
probably late 80s.
I reckon they were right towards the end of us. Yeah, I mean, late 80s.
I mean, the Tenants are still playing.
Yeah.
I mean, we're desperate to see No Nonsense come back together. Yeah, well, and we're clearly going to use this show as a platform to give certain people a nudge to make that happen. I mean, the All Nighters just played 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Don't want to talk about what may or may not be happening with those guys for this year, but there's still a market. There's still people still want to see good music.
Yeah,
and it is good music because we're still drawing crowds.
Yes.
Yeah, back in the day, the one good thing I remember was triple Scar Nights. So you see three Scar bands and probably the best bands in Australia. So, yeah, that was a pretty good thing.
Was there any bands that surprised you that said, oh, I'm a big fan of Looney Tunes? Like, I know INXS come out and say, we were massive fans of the All Nights.
Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry about that.
We used to play a lot of shows with Mental's Anything.
Ah,
and they used to take quite an interest in, I forgot the bass player's name to edit this, but...
No.
Anyway, but he was a big fan of ska music. He'd always come and talk.
Well, I'm pretty sure Greedy Smith was actually a bit of a fan.
Yeah. Well, it's funny when you listen back to these 80s songs now, there's a lot more ska and reggae influences there than we remembered because it didn't seem...
Because you were immersed in it.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. Yeah, it didn't seem like Billy Baxter, you know?
Well, Paul Kelly,
it's funny
obviously.
You should talk about that.
Funny you should mention Billy Baxter because I believe... I mean, you guys are back in the studio recording some stuff because now you're playing regularly. We need to record things.
Yes, a cover of that is on our list.
Yeah.
Thank you very much to Nick Lowe from Haircut 100.
He's going to kill you one day for that.
I think it was Nick Haywood, by the way. He was Haircut 100.
Nick Lowe was in every 80s haircut band. Quite ironic because he's got no hair now. But
So, I mean, Billy Baxter is a perfect song for you guys.
It's sounding good. It's a local song.
That's a great song.
You can't hear it and not get up and dance.
Definitely.
I really want Adam to sing it nasally, though.
I want to be...
Is there any other way?
I want to be like Billy Baxter.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm trying to. I put a reel from the recording process up recently, and I did put the soundtrack to it. Was Billy Baxter. It's a live version, and he sings it up higher.
Oh,
even
know,
he can't sing like he sings it.
Yeah.
He sings it quite low, so we have this issue where me singing
it. I've been doing my show... I think I can't remember. Look, let's say 7 years. I don't know. I've got no idea. And I found that recording of, I think they were on Countdown, Paul Kelly and the Dots. With Wilbur Wilde turns up. But it's not Wilbur Wilde. He does the recording, but it's somebody behind a shadow screen messing around with a saxophone. But Wilbur Wilde is on the recording, but he wasn't actually on the TV.
He did the intro for when they played it, but he's not actually on stage.
Yes, that's right. So I play that. I found that totally by accident.
Ironically, Wilbur Wilde recorded at Soggy Dog today and yesterday.
No way.
I didn't even know he was still alive.
I didn't know.
Well, I mean, we assume if he's playing saxophone, he probably is.
He's in the studio playing in the same actually were recorded.
I know you've got a fantastic horn section, but how good would it be to just sneak Looney Tunes featuring Wilbur
A bit of Willy in there.
You can sneak a bit of Willy in, although...
We need to talk about that. I don't think we've approved this.
I don't know. It's just the thought.
But it means more money for Laurie. That's okay.
We have been recording at Soggy Dog in Upway.
With Steve Burdekin.
Well, talking about recording, I do have some of the initial mixes. Sneak previews of some of the early mixes. So what we'll do, I might sneak one of these in straight off the bat just to kind of paint the picture of the where the Looney Tunes are at right now. So what I might do is I might throw up. This is, I think, one of your, probably going to be your next single, depending on whether you float it with Billy Baxter or not.
It's going to be hard.
This is a version of a lesser-known special song called It's You. And this is one of my favourite special songs because it's off one of their lesser-known albums. And it's such a good song and it just fits you so well. Apparently it's mix 6 of It's You. So the first 5 must have been rubbish.
Stabences. Don't you know you will never win? You get your family running around. They're trying to stop you from going down. It's you who that I'm talking to. It's you who that I'm talking to. Who have you had the latest news about the boy who was shot and abused? Your name that was called, it's you who that I'm talking to. It's you that I'm talking to. Now you're accused of being a gunman. Take your punishment, it's the law of the land. Let this be a lesson to you.
That is mix 6 of It's You, the Looney Tunes cover of the special song. You're listening to Scar Nation Radio with Beefy. It is a special bonus edition of Scar Nation Radio, and I'm here in the studio with the Looney Tunes guys. Now, I have seen you over the past few months play that live. It is fantastic live, that song, and it does bring the crowd. It just all of a sudden gets people going. That side of things, putting on a show and everything else, I mean, you've had years and years of experience of putting on a show and getting the crowd involved, like you do with It's You.
It is a bit of a crowd favourite. You're right. Considering it's a song that not everyone realises it's a cover, but it does go very well, yeah. That's all I've got to say about that.
We've had some big nights playing that song. We've had some big nights at Suki Lounge.
Yep.
That went off at Suki Lounge.
Yep.
Well, it's pretty hard. I'm like,
it is.
I don't want to be
too pally.
We're guitarists together.
Well, I don't know about that. Yeah. We get a twin neck guitar and we could just share it.
Oh,
that'd be a fucking great idea.
Get your hand off me.
You need that.
Like that.
I was gonna say. Is it Joe Satriani or is it Stevie Ray Vaughan with the three headed?
Yes.
The heart shaped two on one side.
Who'd get to wear the guitar though?
Both would. Can you play left handed?
Big strap.
Yeah. Beefy, I think this has gone badly off course.
Yeah, definitely.
edit this section out.
Yeah, definitely edit this section.
Anyway, so I'm at the Suki Lounge.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we did it at Suki Lounge. Big night. Yep. That was with Johnny Longshot. It was a huge night.
It was.
We were meant to play there earlier, but.
You were, but
did a big triple header.
Yeah.
But what happened, Adam?
Yes, Adam.
COVID.
That's
somebody
right.
Somebody got COVID.
I went searching for it. Took a while to find it.
Yeah, you did it though. You got there, man. So we had to skip that first one. Who was the lineup for the first one? There was Pirate Scar Rebellion.
Pirate Scar Rebellion and the Kitty Hawks.
Kitty Hawks. Oh, Kitty Hawks, yes.
Yes, and in the end, because of your no show,
yep.
We got, what are they called? The drunken, half-drunk Hicks.
Half-drunk Hicks.
To fill in.
That was your mum and my mum.
They were shit hot.
They were good. Yeah,
I saw them a few weeks later at Radiard down the road. Yeah, great band.
But for them to put their hands up at 24 hours notice and...
Champions.
To stand up and go, right, we're going to do this, and it's totally foreign to what we're going to do. But they enjoyed fantastic. It. It was good.
And they did put their hands up, didn't they?
They had to.
You had the kids held hostage, right? Yeah.
Yes, that's it. You're playing.
Yes. We don't want to.
So... It's you. It is a crowd favourite. You've got a few crowd favourites, let's be honest.
That's the footage of that one when we supported Bad Manners was huge. You could see the entire crowd go, what's this? That's, oh, yeah.
It's funny, is it? You can see a melody like that.
It was good.
That whole sea of Fred Perry's on their feet and dancing.
No, it is. And going back to the live shows, I mean, you've cultivated a crowd nowadays because of, let's face it, the standard of the show, the quality of the music and everything else. But you also put your hands up. You helped me out with the Sick Kid Skank at the Clifton Hill Brew Pub.
Which was an amazing night.
That was great, wasn't it?
I don't know.
It wasn't.
Somebody wasn't there. We were there.
So for people who don't know.
It was noted.
So I used to put on a series of gigs that raised money for music therapy. Up in Queensland in the 2000s, and we had Area 7 headlined, The Porkers headlined, Strange Tenants came up and headlined, Living In was supposed to headline, they had to cancel the last minute.
They liked that.
But I thought, I mean, I've been in Melbourne long enough, let's start this off again. And I thought, right, we've got an opportunity, Rob's local pub decided they want to put music on, so I talked to the landlord, I said, right, we're going to do this. And he gave me a date, I went, yeah, no worries at all. Let's do this. I'm going to do this. It's going to be a fundraiser. The Looney's going to play. Yeah. And about 2 months later, I realized it was the same night as my mother's 80th birthday.
Yeah, Mum.
I know. So, unfortunately, I had to miss my own gig, but I have to...
I had to miss my mum's birthday.
I could have brought Mum down.
I'll tell you, well, that's true as well, but...
That's a fair point. My mum was there, and she's 80.
It's funny. Oh. Did you make me feel bad.
Did you not see it down the front there dancing?
I didn't see anything.
No. Oh, no, because you're...
Yeah, that's right. There, so that's right.
Your mum...
Absolutely, straight off the bat, I've got to thank you guys for piloting the ship in rough waters, because it was an interesting build-up.
It was. It was insane.
You guys put your hands up and looked after the gig, and we have raised a massive chunk of money.
Yeah.
And all that money, like I said, Looney Tunes have not been paid for the gig. They did it off their own backs for nothing.
No, I paid them.
All the money. I know you've paid the bill. All that money raised is going to music therapy at Peter Mac Cancer Center, mainly aimed at the kids. So it is a fantastic
cause. If a scar band doesn't come out of that, I'll be very disappointed.
Well, we should tell them that. All these kids with cancer are going to play horns.
We should go in there and recruit the future generations of Looney Tunes.
It's not a bad idea.
We
love it.
The fifth or sixth incarnation.
The way it's going,
yeah. So from the bottom of my heart for you guys, actually.
It was fantastic. And we got something out of it because we played this show that was a little out of the ordinary as far as
definitely
production, the way it was set up. But we had this night, and I'll turn around, and he's jumping around like a maniac. The horn, we just kind of found our feet at that show more than the best gig I remember going to in many, many years, you know. It really
because
came together.
A mate of mine actually went along. I didn't even realise that he was going. I saw him at the rugby on the weekend. And he said straight, he goes, I had a great night at the Clifton Hill the other night. I went, did you go? And he goes, yeah. And I went, oh, what do you think? He said, Brilliant.
Just because you were there.
Yeah, because I wasn't there. But unprompted, I didn't even realize it. Yeah, no, he said it was he had so much fun, and it was like, and you probably can explain this a bit better than I can. He said the vibe was totally different.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, it wasn't packed out, it was in a pub.
Yeah.
Everything was kind of grand level. Yep. And he said it was just totally different. Yeah. But it was so enjoyable.
Yeah, it was good. It was real like, rootsy, whatever the word is, but it was real fun, you know. It was like...
Yeah, very spontaneous kind of gig.
Spontaneous fun, yeah. Like I said, the half the band were playing on the floor. The stage wasn't big enough, so the horns, the keyboards, and AD was on the floor. But we were running around and had a ball.
Again. Last time we played it else,
yeah, never mind.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Bringing Scar back to the suburbs.
Yeah, it was really what it's all about. It's really about having...
Even if the suburbs don't want it.
Yeah. Exactly.
They'll bloody take it.
Yeah. No.
We shall scare them with horns.
So, yeah, the Beefy Scar Club, I mean, you've mentioned Sookie Lounge. We've done a few out there now, and it's
been good.
Very, very well received. And we've got Sick Kid Skank now on the Melbourne live music scene. And people are starting to take notice about what's happening.
I think so, yeah. We need to... That's what I'm a big fan of the Beefy Scar Club. I think the more we all join together and make it happen, you know, I think it's important that we band together as a genre of music and
I think as well, you know, not blowing my own trumpet, but ska gig there. But the fact that people are now asking about what's the next gig, which is totally different. It's been foreign for the last few years, and people are actually saying, "When's the next one? When's the next one? Who's playing?"
Yep.
And we've got Area 7 want to play. You guys are obviously playing. Loin Groin I've talked to today. They're up for it. Yeah. Kitty Hawks are obviously on board. Admiral Akbar's Dishonorable Decisions. All these guys are now wanting to play on gigs because it's been a bit haphazard.
Yeah,
in Melbourne,
we're doing our own thing.
Even though you've just told us about the 80s, when 5, 6, 7 nights a week.
It was full on. It was the Halcyon days.
Oh,
we're rebuilding the Halcyon days.
There's a song
days.
In that, Adam. There's a song, the Halcyon days.
Funny, I could finish the song, would be right.
Now, I've got to ask, you know, you're doing a lot of covers, and that's no bad thing, but you're bringing some of the older songs back.
Some old songs, but we're going to write some new songs.
That's what I was going to get
at. Last year, and it was thanks to a lot to do with the Baggy Trousers guys. I got a call from them asking.
Big shout out to Rob. He does listen to the show.
Yeah. Hi, Rob. Thanks, Rob. And I do thank Rob a lot because he called me out of the blue saying, we're coming to Melbourne. This was last year. Do you want to do the support? I said, well, I don't have a band at the moment, but I will put a band together for the show, you know.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Whilst we're talking about Baggy Trousers, they are due in Melbourne and Looney Tunes are supporting. What date's that? I can tell you, it's the 21st of July.
No.
It's not on there. It's not on the official list. Sorry.
I've got to confirm that. Are we doing it? That'd be fucking ace. That would be great. Oh,
yes. Anyway,
you can say whatever you like. Nobody listens. No.
The point.
No, they were a great band. Absolutely.
I can confirm. Baggy Trousers are coming back to Melbourne in July.
Yeah, great.
And I can tell you what's also happening is the Reverse Fixture.
Ah.
Is back in Queensland the weekend after.
We're taking the fight to them.
Oh.
Trouser tunes.
So, yes. So, yeah. So if you didn't know already, you're supporting Baggy Trousers, and conversely, Baggy Trousers will be supporting you guys up in Queensland the weekend after.
We had a great gig with those guys.
It was
brilliant.
We
formed a brief supergroup on stage for the last song.
Yeah.
And we couldn't decide whether it was going to be Baggy Tunes or...
Trouser Tunes
was the supergroup combining Baggy Trousers and Looney Tunes, and it was chaotic.
But it worked.
There was fez dealing action happening. We still owe them some fezzes, by the way.
Ooh,
that's right.
Yeah, we better take some fezzes to
Queensland.
There's
a trip to the reject shop waiting to happen.
Fez.
No, that was huge. I'm looking forward to that.
I did interrupt you about talking about originals and Baggy Trousers and everything else. Do you want to actually, while we're talking about live gigs, do you want to run through what Loonies have got coming up?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's an extensive list starting tomorrow.
Starting tomorrow. From the Jam at the Northcote Theatre. If you want to come along, well, tickets are sold out. So it's going to be packed. It's 1,200, 1,400 people.
I'm going to spot on the guest list if someone wants to hit me up.
It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you.
We'll work something out.
So, yeah, tomorrow night, supporting From the Jam at the Northcote Theatre. It is going to be a huge one. Sorry, guys, if you haven't got your tickets yet, you probably missed out because it is sold out. 21st of
Plus
April.
Plus the show probably going to be after. Yeah.
Whatever. Don't say that. No, just sorry, it's live.
It's the magic of radio.
Yeah.
21st of April, Sunday afternoon gig at Suki again in Belgrave with the Resignators. It's an Arvo gig, kid-friendly. Whoa, it is going to go off like the proverbial frog in a sock.
Beefy Scar Club Wavebreaker. Now, if you
Wavebreaker.
That's what these series of gigs are called. They're called the Wavebreaker. It's two-tone versus third wave.
Oh.
It's a ska battle, people.
He's clever.
See, we're new tone, so
that's, no, you're
that's
not.
Good marketing right
we
there.
We are.
So we're trying to do something different, kid-friendly Sunday Arvo ska, as they say.
It's going
to
be
Sunday Arvo is good,
and the Suki Land's the great.
Suki Land is the best. Is one of the best venues. Great sound man, accessible.
Dags, great sound man.
I'm just going to mention very quickly about Wavebreaker and Sunday Arvo kid-friendly ska. Down at Ska Nation, one thing that struck me was the kids.
Yeah, so many kids.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So many kids. Kids of that age can't go and see their parents play because it's at a pub at night.
Yeah,
correct.
So why don't we do kid-friendly gigs on Sundays where they can go and see their parents and have a good time and jump around and go mental in a pub?
Can't go wrong.
Can't go.
My kids will be there.
There you go.
Well, at least some of them will.
Under 16s are free. Watch your, check it out. So that's, I want to see big crowds at these Sunday Arvo gigs. Get them into Ska early and create a legacy like you guys did in the 80s. Unfortunately, you didn't follow through.
Adam did once, but he
followed through three times.
Was that the Maccas in New South Wales?
Yeah. Engadine.
Scotty was there, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 21st of April.
21st of April.
Beefy
Sunday
Scar
afternoon.
Club, Wavebreaker.
Wavebreaker is going to be huge. Then 25th of May is a Saturday night Monkey Spanner at the Prince Bandroom with
big
us
gig.
Doing support. It's going to be huge.
Big gig.
I've called it the best ska gig of the year.
I saw that.
Have you? Yeah.
Modestly.
Yeah, I have. Yeah. I have called it, and I'm happy to be challenged on that, but I'm calling it possibly the best.
Possibly.
Ska grouping.
Possibly.
Like it.
It's going to be huge.
I think so.
If you haven't got tickets, get them. They're not very expensive, actually. I checked that out today. What, $45 a ticket?
I don't think it's even as much as that. I think it's 40 at most.
Yeah, something like that.
You should get your mum down.
Insanely good value.
Yeah, it's my birthday that weekend, so perhaps she should come down.
Oh,
I went to her birthday. She needs to come down to mine.
I'll tell you what, Beefy, we'll get our mums to get out in the tear and go see the band. They'll love it.
They will.
We have kids one week.
Under 18s and over 80s the week after.
We need the over 80s gig. That's what we need. The Sunday afternoon over 80s, because they're all asleep by 6:30. So let's get them in Sunday afternoon.
Like a sleepover.
A 10 a.m. gig.
Get them back to the nursing home by 3:30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm up for it. Let's do that.
Let's do it. Sorry, Mum, if you're listening. I take that back. And then 22nd of June, another Saturday night. Cool Britannia are coming down again. Last time around when we supported those guys, it was
what a night.
Huge.
Yeah, what a night. Gig.
Just
everything that guy does is gold anyway.
Yeah.
But
big shout out to Mick. He's another avid listener of Ska Nation Radio.
He's an amazing dude, but with us on board, he's even more amazing.
Oh.
I think so. No, I really do. I think it's a great combination.
He does it very, very well.
He doesn't miss about.
So 22nd of June, if you haven't got tickets for that one, Prince
Cool
Bandroom,
Britannia.
Going to be huge. Cool Britannia with, of course, Looney Tunes doing support.
Yeah.
Doing the thing we do so well.
Exactly right. Doing the
waiting
thing
for the
you
Rude
so
Boys
well.
To come down. I want to be a Sunny Coast Rude Boy.
We can definitely work on that. I mean, it's interesting with Baggy Trousers, Monkey Spanner, and those guys kicking around. Of course, yourselves. I'm from the UK. The modern trend at the moment, and what's going on all over Britain, is all these two-tone tribute acts filling pubs.
Yep.
on a Friday and Saturday night. It is everywhere, and they do so well, and that's why there's so many tribute acts. But they are packing pubs.
Yes.
And we kind of need to kind of do it a bit more.
Yes.
And do it a bit better.
Yep.
So let's go back. Let's go back to the 80s live shows. So you talk about legacy and what you guys learned and how you're bringing that into hopefully what we bring it into today.
We built our skills by playing a lot and by actually having relationship with the audience, because it wasn't, you know.
But they were populated gigs though, weren't they? There was a reason to play and perform in front of these big crowds, you know.
Lots of skinheads,
lots of rude boys. It was, the scene kind of drove the bands, I felt, you know.
And look, you know, we mentioned No Nonsense and Strange Tenants. We had a degree of competition.
True.
You know, so I remember the fantastic gig we did at the Tropicana Club opposite the old Brighton May match.
Yep.
Match,
that's right. Factory. That was amazing shows there, yeah.
Chapel Street. And we do this, and they had skylights like up above front of the stage. And so this place is so packed and the audience is going off so much sweating that the moisture was condensing on those skylights and it was like raining on the front of the stage. Which is incredible, especially when you see the photos now, because we were barely out of nappies.
Yep.
That'll come round again.
No Nonsense.
Very soon.
No Nonsense was playing at the Central Club.
That's right.
The same night.
So one thing was winning, playing a great gig, but the fact that No Nonsense was playing in the same neighbourhood, we're going, well, we got a bigger crowd than that. And they were playing at the corner or somewhere like that.
Central Club.
And probably like to 300 or 400 people, but we were doing the same thing around the corner, you know. I remember the owner coming into the band room with a bottle of scotch before before we even played. And he goes, we couldn't believe how many people were there. And gave us like a bottle of scotch or bourbon before we played.
I think it was bourbon,
Yeah,
$23 well spent.
But at the time, come on. But we were so happy. And I remember Dale Ryder was at that gig from Boomtown Chopper.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I walked around. There's Dale Ryder. Fuck me, dude. That's not Dale Ryder. But it was, anyway. But it was a cool scene back then. It was. That's, it was really, the live scene was so cool. And these bands that were pulling big crowds.
Who was in Chocolate Starfish? Was that Dale Ryder?
Adam
Thompson. Adam Thompson, you're right.
Yes. I knew it was Adam. One Adam knows.
Oh, Adam and the Adams. Yeah. What a band.
No, it was amazing. The scene back then was really, really alive, and the bands kind of knew each other, but there was kind of this friendly, like say, competition, but it was very healthy.
Do you remember these gigs, Rob?
Yeah.
Rob. Hello, Rob.
Yeah.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, most of it I do, yeah. Yeah, it was good. We played in a great era where you could go and see a major band every night of the week. We had some pretty good rivalries with Looney Tunes. Probably thought they were our little brothers in a way. We followed around way before. It was probably maybe only a year before them, I don't know. Especially when they said 82, because I think No Nonsense was 81.
Right. I think where we really cracked, I felt like we were your support band for a long, long time, right? But then Richard left the band and the new drummer took over after your time.
Yeah, I moved in here.
And we played No Nonsense's last gig. And after that week, I felt like our crowds doubled pretty much.
Wow.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
Which I try to keep under my hat. But we went from supporting these guys and doing really well and always feeling very competitive in the sense of, you know, performance-wise. But I think when No Nonsense split or had their new singer came in, our crowds certainly...
One thing I did notice, and I think AD said before, I think the crowd just wants to be involved. Probably couldn't do it now. We used to have so many people come up on the stage, and I've had a lot of people fall through my drum kit. But I think, you know, you go to a gig yourself, and it's really good to be involved. You feel like you're part of it. I think it's a great thing.
Yeah, Scar was like that. Scar was like that, the whole crowd would end up on the stage.
Okay, you've just hit something there. I mean, this is the 80s where people were a bit mad and wild, and they didn't really care. What is the strangest thing that's happened on set, apart from people falling through your drum kit, obviously.
AD's already ready in front of the microphone.
Well, I have a story.
We talked about this. Here we go.
Beautiful.
So there was one fateful, it was a single gig tour, if you like, up to Dookie College, Violet Town.
Really?
Yes, and
that's a hotbed.
Steve-O was our manager at the time.
This procured, is John Stevens from
Area 7.
Yeah.
He procured the minibus from, I think it was St. Kevin's, and we all piled in, and you know, had all our gear, the whole bit. We rock up there, we set up in the hall, the Dookie Town Hall, and it's just us setting up. And then the time comes, we're contracted to play, I think, three sets, and there's no audience. The organisers are saying, right, you start now. Like the contract says, you start now. We're going, but there's no audience. There will be an audience. And so we go, oh, okay, we shrug our shoulders. We're going to get paid. And so we jump into the first song, and possibly 20 seconds into that first song, the doors open. And it was like a movie. People just storm in. And that was great, except What they did next was a little bit surprising. All the blokes literally run in from the pub next door. Yeah. They've all got stubbies in their hands, right? And they've all just run in and stopped in front of the stage. It was quite a high stage, as I recall.
Yes.
And we're playing for all we're worth. Hey, the audience is here. This is it. And they just stand there, stock still, staring at us. And you go, okay, well, this is not quite working out the way I thought it might. And then after a minute, one of them looks at the others and nods. And you go, okay, where's this going? And they all put their stubbies on the stage and they unzip their flies and they pull out their woozers and they're playing Air Woozer.
They're what? They're woozers.
They're woozers. Pull out their woozers, mate. And they played Air Woozer to Looney Tunes.
What, helicopter style or?
No, it was just like strumming it, mate.
Stretching and strumming. I've heard a lot of live music stories, and I think that's
true.
The first
this is
one.
True. This is true.
First time I've ever heard of any of this happening.
Yeah,
this
is the puppetry of the penis.
I think it was the College of the Puppetry of the Penis.
Yes.
But definitely, it happened. I was there for that. I dreamed of that.
Yes.
And it got worse.
Oh, it did get worse. It got a lot worse. You can't just leave that. It got worse.
Many things happened on that one night.
But I do
recall, finally, when the gig finished. Man, there was some funny things happened that night. But when the gig finished.
And we filled the truck with stolen
goods. We filled the truck with.
Nothing changed.
Well, basically, we had instructed our road crew to load everything into the truck, and they took that rather seriously. Anyway. But the problem was, so Steve-O's like supervising the crew in loading stuff, and he has to yell at them quite a lot because when the hall lights came on, there was an orgy underway in the middle of the hall, and our road crew, being young fellas, had never seen anything quite like this and were quite distracted and stopped working. Steve-O's, get back to work, you bastard!
Well,
he's not making that up. That is true.
Wow. So if you're coming to the next Looney Tunes gig, the bar's been set pretty high there, but feel free to do your best or your worst, whichever way you look at it.
I tell you what, the 40-year anniversary of the Dookie Town Hall gig could well.
And I think they stopped bands coming, didn't because we...
Oh, yes, because... Yeah, 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 they didn't actually have bands after that for quite a while.
I know when we went to Adelaide, we stayed at a hotel just outside the main street of Adelaide, and there was a big crowd after one of the shows, and Strange Tenants road crew had got into lots of trouble. I think they ended up throwing a motor scooter, one of the mods' motor scooters, in the pool.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Some doors have been, ripped from hinges, and all sorts of things happened. But apparently, INXS rolled up the next week and were turned away. They said no more bands are staying here.
Ah.
It was in the paper, yeah. So
right. I'm going to take you back to the 80s now. Do you want to hear Learn to Crawl or More Than That? Which one fits in with that Dookie story? Probably the orgy, Learn to Crawl, or More Than That. I don't know.
More Than That.
More than that. This is another sneak preview of a Looney classic that has made its way back into the modern day repertoire. This is mix 4 of More Than That.
See you anymore, and now I'm left love, I wish you the very best of health. I've seen enough, I don't want to see the rest. And you never know, things might just turn out for the best. You never know. I thought you meant much more than that tonight. I thought you meant much more than that. Would I wish I'd known before you said that we were only good enough. But you kept it all beneath your cap. I thought it meant much more than that. You said you didn't want to sing it anymore.
Who were those guys indeed?
Fantastic.
You're listening to Ska Nation Radio with Beefy. It's a special bonus podcast with the guys from Looney Tunes. That was mix four of More Than That. Didn't sound like it needed much more work. Probably a new vocal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe some better guitar work.
Well, you said it.
Hey, not so, to agree.
Have a drive-by.
So just as we were listening to that song, you guys were going through a whole list of venues that used to host music, which are essentially long gone now.
Yep, the Prospect Hill Hotel.
I mean, Melbourne still has a vibrant scene, and there still is an absolute shedload of live music venues, and there seems to be new ones cropping up regularly. Yeah. I mean, I went to see the Kitty Hawks the other night at the Burgie Band Room, which is on Sydney Road.
Yeah, Burgie Seltzer.
Burgie Seltzer.
Yeah.
Good.
Sound was very good. Nice. I mean, it still is a vibrant place, which is, I mean, what we all love. I mean, we're all in the same, well, vaguely the same industry. I'm on this side, and you guys are on the stage. I'm a consumer of live music on a regular basis. So Melbourne is a fantastic place to be, and it sounds like it always was.
Oh, yeah. It absolutely fantastic. I'm trying to think if did Looney Tunes ever play the Punters Club?
In Richmond?
Yes, well, I played there. Looney Tunes, but I certainly played there in other bands, for sure.
Yeah, well, that's right. I played in other bands. I just can't remember if we...
Punters? Punters? Yeah, I'm thinking the Punters Club.
Punters was in Club. Brunswick Street.
Yeah. Punters Club, yeah. Well, I photographed there heaps of them. I don't think we ever played there, no. Played the Evelyn, which was across the road.
Across the road, yeah.
Definitely loved played the there. But still doing music, but,
yeah? Yeah, Evelyn, definitely.
Certainly, 80s and 90s, that was a massive for live venues, you know. The Armadale, which was Looney Tunes' home pub back in the day. That's where we played our best gigs there ever.
Upstairs at the Armadale.
Yeah, it was incredible. Insane.
Why did we stop having gigs there, Adam?
I don't know. What happened?
Oh, you can't remember?
No, was it me?
It was because every single time we played there.
Oh, I know, skinheads.
The skinheads would break the toilet bowls.
Yeah, it's like a thing they
did. What's the fascination for toilet bowls?
Well, they just
break something.
It was really big bowls.
Dodgy curry?
We would go there and they would break an entire pan and then eventually the owners
went, no more.
It just made me think when you see the Armadale, there's the London Tavern also in Cork.
Yeah, in Richmond. Yeah.
And it had the called traffic lights in the wall. And if you got up into the red, the sound would cut out.
The central club
so
too.
Many a time you just hear me playing. You'd watch it going up and down because it was a pretty old area.
I can still tell you that. I don't know if it still happens. I haven't been there for a long time, but the Great Northern in Byron Bay had that same system because of these houses all around. Yeah. And if it hits that, I don't know if it was the red light or the green, and they would do exactly the same. And that was until recently. So yeah. whether or not that's still the same, it possibly still is.
Mm. Yeah, that was brutal.
Yeah, it was. It put you off a bit. You could see it going up and down. And
all of a sudden, drum solo you got up.
Oh, yeah. It's just weird to see. All right.
It'd be just
extra fill. I was going to say something absolutely groundbreaking then about Rob and stuff like that, but clearly it's gone.
There's nothing groundbreaking about Rob.
No.
Except for his shorts and his shirt.
They are nice shorts.
Thank you.
You guys know, I'm going to say you're kind of... Your home base is Suki Lounge, and we've talked about how good Suki Lounge is to play.
It's kind of this home for a bunch of us. We live in the hills, but it kind of is, yeah, I guess. In that sense, yeah, and we've played some great gigs there, yeah, and we will continue to.
I think what I was going to get at is the fact that we can go out and play in outer suburbs and still draw a great crowd is fantastic. And we talked about Melbourne's vibrant scene, and it still is out in the suburbs, especially at Suki, because it seems to draw a crowd. But, I mean, we've talked recently about Oakley as well, a couple of venues down there. Lucky 13 Garage, it seems to be a kind of a rock venue, bikey style.
Yeah, there's a few around though.
Yeah, no, sure. It definitely is.
But Suki's runs itself like the Punters, you know. It reminds me of Fitzroy, you know. Yeah. Back in the day, it was the way they run it. It's a big stage with a good light show and a good sound guy. It's set up for bands. It's not a venue with a stage in the corner, you know.
Yeah, I just remember what I was going to say now. You're talking about the 80s and the skinheads smashing up the toilets.
Yeah.
Obviously, I've known Bruce Hearn for 20-odd years, and he came and did a Sick Kid Skank for us in Queensland. That's what brought the band back together. And he always used to tell me the stories about how the skinheads used to crash the tenants' gigs. And I'm sure you were part of that as well.
Definitely, yeah.
And Bruce used to tell me a number of times about stopping the show because we've talked about their backgrounds, and they were so anti that skinhead style infiltration of the ska scene. And obviously that kind of funneled through from the UK in the early 80s and Thatcher years.
It's kind of what made the gigs so great, but also what brought them undone, you know. That's what we found too. I mean, it was Prospect Hill Hotel, which we were talking about earlier, where I threw microphones down at a bunch of skinheads because they had knocked over our girlfriends while they were dancing. So you guys aren't welcome anymore. And they said, we're going to get you, you know.
Was that a regular happening for the ska gigs?
It was all about
it. Was most gigs would have that presence there. And look, to be fair, you know, so I remember my girlfriend, you know, at a Tropicana gig,
girlfriend.
Yes. you know, she got knocked by some massive guy who was dancing. Bigger than you, boy. A big guy who's dancing, he's knocked her drink out of her hand. And he goes, oh, I'm really sorry. And he goes to the bar and gets her a replacement drink, you know. So it's not as if they were all...
They don't think they were meant to... They were living the part, you know. Wear skins, wear rude boys, we're going to go fucking nuts. And that stuff. But most of them were just playing a part, you know. Yeah. But it did bring the shows, that made the shows in lots of ways, because there are 200 people that come to every time we played, there'd be 200 people there. And they were all dressed to impress, you know, amazing. But they ended up messing up the shows by playing up, ended up having a negative effect.
So,
you know,
I don't know too much about this scene, but obviously in Melbourne there was this Sharpie scene. Did that affect you guys
as
well?
Wait a minute. cut. Fucking Sharpies. That was about 20 years before us.
Sharpies are like the 70s.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I told you it was before my time.
I think they peaked at about 1973.
Oh, really? I thought it was early 80s.
Early days. Skinheads.
We're going to stage a walkout.
There is a connection, but it's kind of, I reckon there's 10 years between the two.
Okay, I've got you.
At the best. You know?
Most of the guys and girls were fine. There's more, a couple of troublemakers. But you said before about Richard Bruce being a great front man. He had a way of words, and
yes,
you do recall back in not box, doing the no-nonsense thing, but there was a gig in Sydney called The Family Inn of all places, and my godfather, that was a tough, rough gig, and there was a skinhead problem. One guy mainly and his group of mates, and in the end, Richard took it out in him, and he just destroyed him with words, and to where the whole crowd got up and basically chanted him out the door, and his mates. So,
Richard was very good at that, yeah.
Yeah, we had a few issues, but most of them were really good. But you know what I love now, is you go a lot of gigs, and I started seeing it at the yearly show at the Curtain with tenants. A lot of young skinheads, and they're so respectable. They want to know more about the music, and just seeing it back just takes you back to the day, and it gives you a bit of joy to go, wow, because it's happening again. There's this movement still going on.
Yeah.
Because we get older, you know, and it's good to see the young blokes coming through and girls.
Yeah. No, definitely. I know Dave Yep. Slater.
Yeah, Dave Slater. Yep. He's the guy, he's leading the charge. And I try to back that. And I think we should all get behind, like we do with you and the Scar Club. He's pushing that look, you know. Half the fun of us playing our first gig was going to St Kilda, CV Ballroom. And all of a sudden, there's all these dudes. They're all dressed the way they were dressed. And that the scene was more important, was as important as the music. But it was what was so cool about it, you know. And Dave Slater's doing that. There should be more of it. Yeah, less definitely. Beards, man. Less beards and more rude boys.
more beards. I mean, the one thing.
No, you know what I mean?
No, I know exactly where you're coming from.
That two-tone, that rude boy thing was such a cool thing. That's why we got into it, you know?
Yeah. And what follows on from that, I mean, you say, you know, you see people dressed to impress. But the Looney Tunes gigs over the past year, it is the same crowd because they keep coming back for more. And that's a testament to you guys putting on a decent show because, you know, they have been entertained. They have had value for money and they want to see you guys develop and grow. And what it comes back to is you've been able to add more songs to the repertoire and offering something different because I was talking to the Kitty Hawks guys on Bonus Podcast again.
We heard that.
And they made the statement that you go to a gig, you see these guys live because that moment in time isn't going to happen again, you know, and that's why we do go to live music, you know.
Definitely,
because otherwise you might as well just put a CD on, tape,
vinyl.
But you go to live music to be entertained, to experience something different.
Yeah.
And also, where else can you steal someone's cap?
Yes.
So for those who weren't across the adventures, Adam's cap, which has been thrown into the audience for years. Can I say decades?
You can.
It turns out it was at the Brony Progress Hall gig.
Yeah, which Cappy's got some history, and Cappy got thrown into the audience at the Bad Manners gig, and Cappy, for once, did not come back.
Didn't return.
Had a lot of fun.
Had an adventure.
Cappy had a hell
spent
of an adventure.
Spent more time in a sex shop than I ever
sex
had.
Sex shops. He That's went not true. To a tattoo place.
Well, I take that back. Probably not.
Cappy had big adventures while he was gone, and we owe a debt of gratitude to the people who showed him a good time.
Definitely.
Much better time than Adam ever showed him.
Yeah, true.
It got washed too after
all. What?
It's like a new cap.
The flavour's gone.
I mean,
I didn't even want it anymore.
The best thing about that story is you've now got two or three or four new fans for life as well.
That's right,
They came to the Belgrade gig at Suki. They came from miles away to come to that gig just so, well, partly so they could see us and partly so they could
plus
get Cappy back.
Clear their name from
of any wrongdoing.
They knew the hellhounds on their tail. I had to bring Cappy back. That was awesome. They came from somewhere out west of the city. They came a long way to see us play.
Wait a minute. Is that far?
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, I had a chat to them. They really travelled to get there. It was impressive.
Fun guys.
I think
fun
it was
guys.
Horsham.
Horsham.
Or Border Town or one of the, that's how far they came.
I think they're from Mozambique, yeah?
Yeah. That west.
Sure that's what they said.
Ah, yeah, that's pretty west.
Way west, they did say.
It's more west than
yeah, they drove from Perth.
Whatever. No. It was a long way. Look, it wasn't Belgrade.
It definitely wasn't Belgrade.
More like Tacoma is.
Well, I know we're having so much fun. We've gone over an hour already, which is fantastic. It's been brilliant. What is next for Looney Tunes?
Well, we started talking about this. I got cut off. Original music. It was all about putting the band back together last year, which I think we did quite successfully, thanks to Baggy Trousers guys. I think the band's awesome. I'm loving it. This year's all about being original again. I mean, continuing what the Looney tradition, I guess, and being entertaining and putting on these great shows, but I want to start writing new songs and being some original tunes.
You've got a platform now, which is good because obviously it's a Looney's Mark III.
Yep.
But now you've set a standard where people are going to come and see you, and they do expect.
And I think, Nick, our bass player, came and said, "We've got to stop being the nice guys, you know, playing two-tone covers. We've got to give it some attitude." And I think that'll come with original music again. I think we need to write our own songs. Well, we are writing our own songs. I think we need to start performing those again and it'll give the band back a bit more attitude,
I mean, we've talked about Billy Baxter. We've talked about It's You. It's finding these kind of lesser-known tunes and putting your own spin on it. So even though they're covers, they're actually Looney songs?
Yeah, I think so. But original tunes, where it's at. I said that all the wrong way, but it's all about writing some new tunes, and I think that's give us Looney continued life, you know?
No, I totally agree. I think it's another string to your bow.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely is.
That's where we're at. That's what we used to be. We're original band, you know? The fact that we turned to this old two-tone cover band doesn't sit that well with me, you know? It's fine for then, but for now, for what we need to do in the future will be...
But it's a balancing act now at the moment.
Definitely,
because
for sure.
I mean, you got to get old guys back, new guys in.
Yeah, but I do believe it's such a big thing.
We do, of course.
Be an original band, yeah.
I think
the trick with some of those slightly obscure covers and finding a fresh way to do them, at the same time as the band is finding a fresh way to perform those songs, it's finding the sound that it can then apply to newly written songs. And so it's getting a fresh Looney Tunes sound.
Love it.
Well said.
It was well said. Yeah. Very good.
And that also extends to a new look and physical feel of the band. But, you know.
The one serves the other.
You'll be doing shorts.
Apparently it's going to be camouflage shorts and Scar Nation t-shirts. I just can't wait. How about you, AD?
I want to look like Area 7 too.
No pants.
Wait a minute. I feel like Area 7.
Hang on, no, I'm not going to go to the next line.
Now, we talked about platforms and live shows.
Yes.
We formed a bit of a relationship with Metropolis.
Yes.
Well, Bad Manners from the Jam. There is more coming, I believe, as well. So that's fantastic, Madness. I don't think, you never know.
Who knows?
But in terms of that, it's great to have companies and promoters like Metropolis backing Looney Tunes to put on a show. I mean, it's
one thing that I'll give to the band is that we are easy to work with. You know, we're not rock stars. We're having a good time and we're about performance rather than money. We're never, not about the bucks, not calling the shots. We just want to get out there and perform and be good at what we do, you know.
Yeah.
I think Metropolis have seen that, you know.
Well, I mean, from the feedback from the Bad Manners gig from their tour manager was straight up, these guys are easy to work with. They put on an awesome show.
That's what he just said.
Yeah. He said straight up, he goes, happy to have you back.
Yeah.
And straight up, the next opportunity.
Yeah. And we've had it, you know. So I think we've earned it for good reason.
Well, I think you've nailed it there. Yeah. You've earned it. That's right. And we're not,
there's a lot of bands out there being precious about their sound or the conditions, but we're pretty easy going. Yeah.
It's good.
Thanks, Beefy.
Yeah, well, I try my best, you know. I try and get opportunities. Because at the end of the day, we want to see good bands playing big shows.
Yes.
Because I'm going to be honest, I'm tired of seeing decent bands in Melbourne that come over and support bands being chosen. Like, why are these people supporting? You know, and it does my head in.
Yeah, yeah.
It really does. And it's like, I remember seeing the Specials came here and they played at the... Lime Cordial.
Did they?
Thanks for screwing your face up, Rob, because that's exactly what I thought.
I know who they are, but at the time, I guess they were young.
Yeah, they were a young Lime
Cordial.
But
doing almost that
I've seen them a couple of times when they come here. What gig did they play? Can you remember?
Was it the Palace?
They played the Palace, yeah.
The first time.
Metro, the three-level one.
Yeah, the Metro one. Yeah.
I saw them there.
That was pretty much the reformation of Looney Tunes. We all went to that show.
Yeah, you told me that one. Yeah.
I don't remember seeing Sport Band. And they were okay, but they must have been...
I'm trying to think who supported Madness at the Hall last time I saw them.
Did they have support?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, Caravan of Sun. From Sydney, it was.
That's familiar. Yeah.
No, it was. Sometimes I amaze myself.
Yeah, but you're going for the touring companies or the agencies that are finding these young bands. They're kind of an offbeat guitar in it. You know?
I'm going to tell you, you might have even been there. So at the Corner Hotel, Special Beat came out. So it's half the Specials, half the Beat. Rankin Roger it wasn't that one. But Pauline Black came another time. Anyway, so they were at the Corner Hotel.
Yep.
The support band came on stage. And it was this young upstart band from Sydney. And I'm thinking, who are these guys? And they're there. They're kind of, I'm going to say, European descent background. I'm not quite sure whether they're Italian or whatever. They're there dancing around. Nobody's into them. Because the demographic is Brits between the ages of 40 and 60.
Old ska guys, pretty much this room.
Yeah, pretty much this room. So these guys are jumping around.
Join us.
And it's kind of... half rap, half funk, and it was very weird. And these guys, nobody's getting into it. And the dance floor at the corner is empty, and there's 20 or 30 people because a lot of people have left. Yes. So these two guys who were fronting up this band jumped down on the dance floor and started doing it themselves. And they said...
I'll never do that.
They came on and they goes, you know, I've started to think that... you guys were a bit out of place here. Then I realised it was us. And the band were Blue Juice.
Ah, okay.
So they supported Space. And it was the same thing. In all fairness, and they tried to put on a show.
They're a good band.
I like them. I like Blue Juice. I mean, this was early in their live career, though.
They tried to write some great songs. You know,
yeah. Broken Leg is a great song. Vitriol. Yes, what a tune.
They were great.
But anyway, not for a Scar gig, that was one of the best comments I ever heard from a support band who were totally out of place, yeah. But the promoter...
But they fucking knew, yeah.
No, they did. They fucking knew, Adam. They really did.
Annoying. Stop doing that.
Fucking again?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, in terms of that...
Get the same voice.
I mean, the kind of a position using my platform... I'm not going to say influence,
we're not going to say Kingmaker, right?
No, I mean, definitely not. What a band they were as well, Kingmaker. You'd love them. Look them up. But in terms of that, I can help make some sort of influence promoters to get decent support.
It's helping. It's helping our homegrown shows anyway. You know, like putting us where we should be. You know,
when you think of it, the support band,
it's important.
It is very important.
It definitely is.
But if we play in front of 1,500 people or 1,200 people tomorrow night, then they support us, you know. The idea is that...
Well, you know yourselves, off the back of that Bad Manners gig.
We have a lot more interest. We've had some...
Yeah, we picked up some new fans that night.
Definitely,
sure.
Definitely have. And that was testament to the performance. And I'm hoping that the same happens tomorrow night. I'm sure it will.
Not that we want mods on board, but, you know.
Right.
I'm joking.
If they pay the bucks to get in, they're welcome.
Well,
we're going to throw the scooters in the swimming pool.
Well, let's hope not that. Well, no, let's do it anyway.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as bad publicity, as they say.
That's right.
All right, we're going to finish up with Learn to Crawl, because that is an oldie but a goodie.
Do you want to talk? Wait a minute. Adam Dennis.
We will.
Adam Dennis wrote the song.
Why not?
It's a really great song, and it's the theme of the song. It's about learning to dance to ska music. You know, skank.
I'm going to throw this out there. I have a version from Yeah Yeah of doing Learn to Crawl.
Oh, that
appeared.
Worst.
Yeah Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll
tell you the whole story.
We want to hear the whole story.
Okay, so the first thing is the song was written in Craig Matthews' kitchen back in the day when several members of the band lived in this one block of flats, two up, two down. And I went and visited Craig Matthews and we sat in his kitchen and we sat down and we did the you write the verse, I'll write the chorus type thing, and then we put it together. We set out to write a song about dancing to ska at a party, essentially. That was the whole thing. And then we went, this is going to go great at rehearsal. So we go down to rehearsal and we'll put this song together. And we went round down to rehearsal, and who didn't turn up to rehearsal?
Adam? I missed one rehearsal the whole time.
I
missed one rehearsal the whole time. Looney Tunes drove it together, and this is the song they wrote while I was there. So
we put that song together, and then we did a gig.
Sorry, the one you're talking about down the road here in Oakley or whatever.
It's Oakley
and
or
they played me the song in a break between the two sets, and he had
the lyric sheet, and we have it on film. Like it's actually, it can be found. I think it can be found on maybe.
That's too logical.
So it's like, and I think that version that we did ran for about 12 minutes at that point. It's like, sing it again.
The one on YouTube?
Could be, yeah.
Look, I certainly from that have same it. Show I'll, that got I'll filmed. Look it up.
If it is on YouTube, I will post it on the Ska Nation Radio with me via Facebook page. To accompany this podcast.
So later on, post Mark 1 Looney Tunes, Yeah Yeah was founded and became a bit of a thing. I was in Yeah Yeah at that time, and there were many, many lineups to Yeah Yeah as well. We played Learn to Crawl. And Learn to Crawl has a very specific intro.
Phil does it very well.
And I had actually resigned from Yeah Yeah. I tendered my resignation, and Sunshine Tony was replacing me, and he could not learn how to play that song. Like, he was quite a good guitarist, but couldn't get his head around the theme of the song. And eventually I said, look, Tony's got to start playing the gigs now. I'm out. Because I'd played Sci-Fi New Faces with them and stuff like that. But it was time to go. And so I left and I didn't attend any further gigs. And then one day someone came around and said, here's the CD we just recorded. And I looked at it, I went...
Is it the one that's like super fast? I think
I've heard
it.
Yeah, yeah, it's insanely fast.
Sivo singing it.
Well... I've got a copy of that three-tracker, and because the other two songs aren't ska songs, are they?
Bring My Cadillac Back, and
I think there's a middle one that's a bit weird. They Learn to Crawl is the only ska song on that three-tracker.
It's crazy
they
fast.
They kind of lent that from, I guess, Looney Tunes and yourself.
I did not play on that.
Well, there you go. There's
a different song.
Story behind Learn to Crawl.
There's the story behind Lovely Lady. Then we brought it back to Looney Tunes and re-owned it, basically.
Yes. And you were going to...
With the horn line stuff, it's like, it's amazing. It's a great song, you know.
And you were going to re-own it again because you're back in the studio. I've got mix three of Learn to Crawl.
Mix five
is going to be awesome. You've
got to say they're catchy titles, right?
They are catchy titles, but it will be coming.
Rock theme album.
Yes.
Every song starts with the word mix.
Mix.
Well, we're hoping the kids learn to count, you see.
One, two, three. So, before I play and we go out with the latest in studio version of Learn to Crawl.
We can do an acapella version if you like.
If you want.
I don't. No,
we can't. No. We can't.
I'll clap.
Phil has voted no to the acapella version.
Okay. Boom, boom, boom.
You want to do it? No. It just starts with guitar and we can't really sing that. But anyway.
So I have to thank you guys for coming in and I wish you the best of luck with recording. I wish you the best of luck for tomorrow night because that is going to be fantastic. Yes. I cannot wait to see you guys on, well, what will be the biggest crowd you've played to for Mark III.
Wow, yes, you're right. Mm. And they've all been huge. It's been much bigger than times before, but it will be.
So I am looking forward to that.
There will be video evidence.
You do deserve to play on that stage with the likes of Bruce Foxton and From the Jam. So hopefully bigger things to come, and we are working on that. One thing I'm happy about is you're enjoying yourselves.
Yes.
Yeah. And that is the most important thing, because if you're not enjoying yourselves, why bother?
Yes.
Exactly. Yes,
you're totally right, yeah. We are enjoying ourselves. So third time round is the best time round.
Enjoy yourself.
Oh, they've got that. It's later than you think. Come on.
Enjoy yourself while you're still in the pink. The years go by as quickly as you wink. Enjoy yourself, it's later than you think.
Thank you, Beefy and your Scar Club.
Thanks, Beefy.
No worries. So Adam, Phil, Rob, Adam, thank you very much for being on Scar Nation Radio with Beefy. Please, please, please follow Looney Tunes on the social medias. They're there. Check out their Spotify page. There is a new single that has just come out in the past few days.
It's Only You. It's Only You.
Check out the artwork. It's awesome. And so we will keep you updated of the new releases because these guys are in the studio. They will be putting out some new stuff. We've heard the mixes. You will get the finished releases very, very shortly.
I want to be like Billy Baxter.
Nice.
I want to be.
I do thank you guys. Best of luck for upcoming gigs, especially tomorrow night, but going down the line. And we will be playing stuff when it gets mastered, finalized, released on this show exclusively to Scar Nation Radio with Beefy. Please follow me on Facebook. Just look up Scar Nation Radio and on the old Twitter because I cannot cope with Instagram or YouTube right now because I am an old dullard. Thanks to Looney Tunes. This has been Scar Nation Radio with Beefy, the world's number one Scar radio show. Shove that up your ass. This is Learn to Crawl.
He's going to say ass.
Care. Oh, we're gonna have some fun.
We listen to the records playing in the lounge, yeah.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.